Good morning, 8:37, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Election Day. Joining us now, we have Supervisor of Escambia Elections, David Stafford. David, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, and congratulations on your reelection.
Thank you. Good morning out there. It's a good morning. Beautiful weather. People are out voting in droves, so it's a good day.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. And you're one of the few offices where we can confidently declare the outcome even before we count the votes. So we're going to be doing just fine. Let's talk about returns. I have seen a number of texts come in telling me that polling places are very busy, and yet others coming in telling me that theirs are empty, which is not unusual particularly, but what are you seeing in your polling places this morning?
Yeah, overall, we've had in the first about hour and a half, first 90 or 100 minutes that the polls have been open, we've had about 8,000 people that have cast a ballot already. So, obviously the first hour is always the busiest. People queue up. I was talking to a person that was up at one of our larger precincts, 112 up on 9 Mile Road. And they're queued up probably 30, 40 deep by the time the polls open, but they're able to get that down pretty quickly. And so it's turnout, seems to be pretty steady all across the county. The rate obviously dips after that first hour, but we're still holding steady. And like I said, about 8,000 over the course of 90 minutes. And I was expecting coming into Election Day that we'd be somewhere around, if you try to anticipate, maybe somewhere between 50 and 60,000 votes cast today, which would put us right at about 80% turnout when you add in the early in-person votes and the vote by mail ballots. And we're tracking about that way. Obviously, if the first hour pace holds, we'll probably be ahead of that. If it slows down and then picks back up. Anyway, it's steady and people are out voting and it's a gorgeous day.
Well, that's for sure. And, one of the things I just want to check on is, have any of the polling places changed from either the primary or the prior election to this time around?
They've not.
So everything is the same.
The only changes we've had would be from 2018, and even then it was just a handful. But this is our third election this year, as you well know.
Right.
The only polling places that changed were right before the March presidential primary, and that was only two, and that was because of COVID. We had to get out of two ALFs and go to alternative locations. But anyway, everything else is held steady for the other two elections.
And one of the things, you and I have talked about this a lot before in the run up to this election and all this year and prior to that, a lot of concerns about election security, hacking,
right,
just a wide scope of concerns that you have to take seriously. Can you just talk for a minute about what has been done in that regard to make sure that the elections in Florida are safe and secure?
How do you have, like 6 or 7 hours that we can? No, actually, a lot's been done. It was a kind of a wake up call, I guess you would call it, back in 2016 when we realized that you had foreign actors that were actually targeting not only people in election officials in Florida, but all across the country. At that point, the federal government declared elections as critical infrastructure. I've been privileged to be a part of that process since its inception in early 17. We've made remarkable progress over the course of these, 4 years in hardening our systems. One of the things that probably is most, you've seen the most progress, I would say, it's probably twofold. One is just the communications. If something would have happened in 2016, say like the Proud Boys email that went out, not knowing who to call, we would have spent a lot of time trying to figure out who was in charge of what and trying to educate people on how folks on the law enforcement side and the intel side on how elections work. Now, because of the work that's been done over the course of the last, three and a half, four years, everybody's been sitting around the same table, sharing information, learning, from each other. So immediately when that happened, we knew exactly who to call. They knew exactly what to ask for and what to look for. So that communications, you don't want to be talking to somebody for the first time in a crisis.
Right.
So You build those relationships up over the years. That's one. The second is just sort of we've always been concerned with the security of our hardware, our voting machines. What I think was a wake-up call was everything else that and it's not unique to elections, local governments and private sector, anything that faces outward, the public, anything that's on a network is vulnerable. And so I think that was probably where the most progress was made on hardening those types of systems within your organization. And so, like I said, we've made good progress. We're certainly not sitting back and declaring victory, because it is an ongoing process.
And the threats change, as
we get better, they get the yep. The bad actors get better as well. And then also you throw in the disinformation side, which is a lot harder to tackle.
Yeah, no, for exactly right. The threats not only change, but they become craftier and, like you say, more difficult to actually combat. Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you, we're talking to David Stafford, yep. supervisor for Scambia Elections. This is just a fact question, and I didn't know the answer. Somebody had asked me earlier whether I thought media would start reporting Eastern time zone results early, and I didn't know legally, are any of the supervisors of elections in the Eastern time zone, are they allowed to release statewide or even their local? Like, do they release anything that would be relevant to our voting before 7 o'clock our time?
So, yes. The short answer is yes. As far as when you say our voting, you're talking about the state of Florida. So, at the county level, so if you went at 6 o'clock, 6:15, say Central Time, you go look at Pasco County or Hillsborough County or Seminole County or Duval County, for that matter. Within the first 30 minutes, you can go on their website and they will have posted initial results on their website. Now, the state will not release anything until after the polls close. In the Central time zone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go county to county, you can start pulling county level results there in each county. So,
and that includes for like the presidential race, things that would be the whole
absolutely.
State. Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Well, that's annoying.
So if you were to cobble together, or more importantly, if you were to go look at a couple of sort of key counties, swing counties, you may get a pretty good idea. But the state will start releasing at 7.
Okay, and I hate to make assumptions. That's why I asked the question. From a legal perspective, if they're allowed to publicly disclose the results, then media are allowed to report on those results. Is that right?
Okay.
Oh, David's on the line.
Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to say. No worries at all. I was just going to. The technical question is: I assume that if it is a publicly available result by an official government agency, that media of any sort is allowed to report on those as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any prohibition on if something's reported on a public website.
Yeah. Well, that's what I figured. I mean, that's annoying, but
it is
the way it is. Well, David Stafford, a supervisor of Escambia Elections. David, I hope that everything is clean, clear winners and losers tonight so that we don't have another set of recounts. But even if we do, you did such a good job of handling it last time. I know you'd do a great job of handling it again. Thank you for the work,
thank you
for protecting our elections.
Mm-hmm.